7 o'clock. Let's go ahead and get started. It's November 14th, 2022, 7 p.m. Welcome to the Yorkville Public Library Board of Trustees meeting. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Milshewski?
Here.
Crawford?
Here.
Forrestal?
Here.
Garcia?
Here.
Millen?
Here.
Reifsteck is absent. Schumacher?
Here.
Schimpf?
Here.
Hissola?
Here.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, and for visitors, we have Russ, we have Susan, right? Steve, and Daniel. And Shelley, our library director, is here. Okay, so next, we do have an amendment to the agenda. We want to move the under unfinished business, the HVAC repairs update. So that's the one that I have. Is there any other amendments to the agenda? Okay. I guess let's go ahead and we'll go on with that.
As you know, we've been under a challenge in driving the budget out of control for a while, but we are making progress on everything. The chiller, right now we're doing the chiller work. We vacated all the refrigerant out of circuit one. We're 50 pounds short of refrigerant in that first circuit.
Okay.
Holds 160, we had 110 in there. Tomorrow we're going to do the other circuit.
Okay.
We're hoping that they took some out of circuit one, put it in circuit two. We might have a leak in circuit one. We don't know yet until we pressurize the system. So once we do circuit two and get it vacated, then we'll know more once we pressurize the system what we're getting into. We're hoping we won't need a chiller, but right now it's too early to tell.
Yeah.
As far as the boiler goes, we put in the new boiler controls. We put in actuator motors, a couple of them. Did some other things. I listed it all out in the document I provided you. Right now, everything is running very well, and I put the energy numbers on the back just so you can see. Right now, the latest gas usage bill, we're down to 2018 numbers.
Wow.
So the cost is a little bit different. We can't control the cost per therm, that
right.
type of stuff, but at least we're getting usage where we need to. Mm-hmm. Electric starting to trend on the same way. We're 82% as of September, 77% over last year on October, and 69% on November. So it's not covering the cost of everything, but it obviously is getting us back to where we need to be from utility costs.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that will offset some of the money we're spending right now. But as far as we can tell right now, we have most of the heating all dialed in. There's a couple of VAV boxes we still need to investigate. It might be a linkage problem and stuff like that. But overall, we're heating and cooling the building in a better set than we have in years.
Great. Thank you.
Now, if we can get to the chiller and hopefully find something good versus a full replacement right now, then we'll go from there.
Okay.
I'm more than willing to answer any questions if anybody has any.
So the Freon, not Freon, but I'm sorry, the... glycol system for that.
Yes.
Can you speak as to that?
We have two different options where we could replace all the glycol. In the ideal world, that's where we want to go right now because it could be. Mm-hmm. Right now, we'll cover the temperatures we need if we leave it in the system, but it's been in there probably since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They've done work on it. We could have a leak right now. We're not sure yet on that.
Okay.
But we could just vacate the system for this year, leave it, and then do it next year. But keep in mind, based on the calendar or the fiscal year, we'd be pushing it going into the start of fiscal year. So we could get warm weather beforehand and not be able to turn the chiller on.
Odds are we would probably get warm weather prior to the...
Yes. Yeah. I mean, right now, if we were to get a 70-degree day, we can't turn the chiller on. That's why we postponed this as long as we could to get the colder weather once it seems like it's going to stay cold. But as the Midwest knows, we could have 80-degree weather in December.
Yeah. So if you leave the glycol in it, what is its temperature that it can go down to? Is it a negative 20?
Minus 20 or minus 35.
Wow. Oh,
yes.
That's good. Okay.
And if the pumps keep running, flowing, it'll keep everything circulating. It's not like it's sitting stagnant. So
right.
You can circulate it, keep it going.
Okay.
But the better or the lower temperature we have that set for, then we don't have to worry about things going in. But
in
the winter, if we get an 80-degree day, we just fire the chiller up or it'll fire up automatically. We don't have to worry about it.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Yep.
Wow. This is great news that we're actually reducing our natural gas cost.
Yes.
And our electric now, too.
That's, it is. It comes at a cost.
I know.
Just so you know. Cost.
So on our, so we earmarked a certain amount of money for this, for the fiscal year.
In our budget, we have $50,000 a right. year for outside repair and maintenance. And
we
might be at or just above that right now.
Okay. So we'll have to look and see elsewhere in the budget if there's something that we can move around or at least earmark certain amount of money from another portion that we and see if we can move that over or at least use that account.
And that's why we were waiting to like all the way we were seeing.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Perfect where we spend it, but I mean obviously there's only so much money in the fund and
yep.
we want to be respectful of that, but we also want to do the system work need to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. I guess we'll go on to approval of the minutes. So if everybody can take a look at that and then make a... ask for an approval. I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes for Monday, October 10th, 2022, the Yorkville Public Library Board of Trustees meeting.
Second.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Schimp?
Yes.
Pasola?
Yes.
And Milshewski?
Yes.
Do we have any correspondence?
No.
Any public comment? All right, can we have the Friends of the Library report, please?
Okay. So we had our meeting today, and I'm co-president, so it was the first time I got to lead. I asked many questions as I was going along, but it worked out really well. We approved our budget, our fiscal budget was approved for October 1st, 2022 to September 30, 2023. So that was a good thing. We're going to be we're looking with all of our revenue and fundraising that we will have a goal of $32,731. So hopefully, I would love to see that increase over the years, and definitely that will make that happen. We also are working getting the mini golf. Going with Shelly and Caitlin and all of her team to get that up and running. Having volunteers, we passed around the sheet for people to volunteer. Judy got putters for the event. She thought she was getting 30 putters, but she ended up getting 42. She went to a place. Shelly, do you remember the name of the place? I didn't write it down.
Lenders, Leaders? Something. Oh, Sports Boss in Leland.
Oh, okay.
And they're a sports equipment, it's almost
retailer?
Like a flea market kind of, but it's in a barn kind of thing. But, yeah, he cut putters down. And re-grip them and sold them to
you. Yeah, for $150 for 30 of them, but got 42. And then it's going to give us 10 coupons or $10 off a stack of coupons so that we can use them at the event. So that's looking really good. And I don't think we'll have a problem at all with volunteers. They'll be there for sure. We also are talking about our holiday lunch, which is December 12th. And so definitely we're going to be inviting library staff, and I certainly would like to invite all of you to attend. It's a potluck, a pot lunch, so hopefully we'll have a nice assortment of things and get to meet everyone, and hopefully we'll have membership pretty full on that day. Anytime there's food, I would imagine that people like to come. The other thing that we're also planning, and this will be a first, is a social event for our members, because we've just distributed our most recent directory. However, it seemed slim, although we increased. There's only a handful of people that come to the meeting, so we thought it would be great to have it on a Saturday morning, a breakfast. We're talking about bringing in some authors who might want to present and show the book, so we can do this as a member exclusive. So it's in talks right now, and hopefully that will happen sometime in January. Any questions for me?
Thank you. We have the report of the treasurer, please.
Well, y'all just over the bill list. Pretty good. There's just a couple things that kind of are red flag that are kind of extraordinary. One being Hogan by Wilson on page 11. That was for remediation. $9,847. And then on page 12, Lori Orber, that's the IT, that's to
finish out our consulting fees for our grant, our digital grant. So it's broken out into three different expenditures.
$1,440. And then to kind of tie into Hanson's, there was some testing done for Midwest Environmental. Show that we needed the remediation, that was $1,600. The news on that gas bill, it is down. And then the other thing, of course, is FICO. So, kind of what Shelley said that we're getting up there, this was for $10,336. So, just kind of keynote thing.
To add to that, I received another TRICO bill that missed the cutoff date for this bill list. So Amy is incorporating it in with the city's run on the 22nd. And that bill is for $4,307. So that'll show up in the financials next month.
Do we have mold? Was there mold?
Pardon?
Was there mold in the library?
Nothing toxic. It was within range.
Sure, of course.
Okay. Shelley, the $4,300 for next month for TRICO. So, Steve, they're still doing the work on the chiller. Does this $4,300 include that, or that will be an addition?
No,
this
the additional.
The PM. This was.
They're estimating about $3,400 for the chiller. So right now, all in with TRICO, what I've seen, it's about $22,000. That's including the 34 at that point.
Any questions, Andrew? So I'd like to make a motion to approve the bills as presented, with the accounts payable, total bills paid in the amount of $41,151.89. Total payroll being $38,625.87 for total distributions of $79,777.76.
Second.
Okay. Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Schimpf?
Yes.
Pasola?
Yes.
Milchewski?
Yes.
And Crawford?
Yes. Can we have the report of the library director, please?
Just to run down on some of the past programs we had. We had the Six Brothers Ukulele Band here last week on November 7th for a 5 p.m. concert. We had 86 people attending the program, which was really, really nice. They've been here several times, and everybody loves them, so we obviously will have them back again. It's a great program, and it's sponsored by the Friends of the Library as well. We have been running a Women's Health Series program with Northwestern Medicine, which is free, which we love those free programs. Our last program wasn't that well attended, but it was an evening program. So Mike's decided he's going to switch it up and focus it on maybe some neutral. Oh, no, that's a different one. In February, it will be mental health program, but it's going to be a daytime program to try to get older adults in for this program. But our yoga instructor that we have here at the library is also a nutritionist, so she has offered to do monthly nutrition programs for seniors. So I believe those will start next year sometime as well. Mike had done a survey of any time we have a program to see what other people might like brought in here, and a lot of that has been nutrition, health, wellness programs, mental health programs, so he's been focusing on those. He had on the 11th the Life of Charles Schulz program that was celebrating his 100th birthday. And this was a speaker that we've had here also several times, and that was a well-received program as well. He has The Life of Carol King coming up in this month, and he will be focusing on finishing up his computer classes for the month, and he's going to take a break for December and start back up in January. We hosted a life cycle living open house with the city last month, and there were 20 plus community members in attendance, and we had 15 community support service members here to answer questions for our residents. This was a grant that the city received to study aging in place for the community to make sure that we have the proper services, housing, transportation for our residents. So this was a way to get the community together and ask questions, kind of an open house. Some of our staff have been invited to Heritage Woods for a Meet the Staff open house. And so we will be attending that. We have been going to Cedarhurst and Heritage Woods, and we are developing a homebound delivery system for them. And we reached out to the Friends of the Library today to kind of help coordinate that effort so we could match Friends with some senior residents. Cheryl's going to be in charge of facilitating that. She's our circulation manager. Imperial Services, who's doing our cleaning, has been doing a great job. I haven't had just minor tweaks that I've had to contact them on, and they're very responsive, so I'm happy with that. We had to call ADS, which is Alarm Detection System, in to look at our motion sensors because we were getting an error code on our alarm panel. And vendor contract, so didn't cost us. He came and he replaced three motion sensors, and we haven't seemed to have a problem since then, so that's good. Let's see here. Well, we had our one of our part-time staff members had her first baby on November 3rd on her birthday. So staff's getting together and collecting some gifts for her. She's a young staff member here. So we had 12 staff members participate in our annual Halloween costume contest. And the winner was Maleficent Doty. So she came. She came with the big horns, and she drove to the library dressed in that, and she had to open her sunroof and stick her hands out.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, she won, hands down. Hands down. It was awesome. Let's see. Just a reminder, the library will be closed at 5 on Wednesday, November 3rd. In observance of Thanksgiving, and closed on Thanksgiving, but we are open on Friday, November 25th. Let's see, we, Wameka's girls group, Girls Rule the World, or Run the World,
Run the World.
They are collecting feminine products to help end period poverty, and that collection box is in the foyer. I think this might be the second or third year she's done it. Yep. So that will be there for a couple of months. Let's see here. Steve gave me a tour of the new City Hall, which is very nice, coming along. They're expecting to move in March-ish. Yep. Let's see here. I attended a online seminar for new software that we'll be replacing our online catalog, our Encore catalog. If you place holds for books, materials, it'll look a little different and a lot better. Normally, I don't know if any of you search our catalog or not, but if you pull up a title, you'll get maybe 5 or 6 different results for it. You'll get the book, you might see paperback, you might see audio, you might see the ebook. And in this new system, it's nicely condensed to one record with the tabs for each format that you want. It's really nice. It's so much easier, intuitive to use. So there's still a to be determined date to go live on that, but I will let everyone know. I attended our quarterly delegate assembly meeting for Prairie Cat, and they presented a budget for next year, and our participation will increase, our participation cost will increase to just shy of $20,000, so that's a 14% increase. And that participation rate is based on our active card holders, our collection numbers, our collection count, and our circulation numbers.
Did those increase enough that, did we hit like some new bracket for this pricing?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just their pricing went up.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see here. So I had a little trouble with a group of high school students after school, and we've singled out one particular individual that we've asked, and I've asked that he not come back into the library until I've spoken with his parents. He has not contacted his parents to contact me, but every day he tries to come in and push him out. He's been loud, obscene language, and just really distracting for staff and for patrons, so he's out. The principal was here today. He's done several walkthroughs during the day just to keep an eye on students that are here and that, and I let him know what was going on. I to tell them is after school. I reached out to our one of the deans of students, and she had said that she would contact their parents, this group of them, because I asked if she would give me their name, and I could contact the parents. And, you know, for privacy, they weren't going to do that. And I'm like, that's fine. And she offered to contact them. So I'm just waiting to hear back from her. And up until this point, it's been fine. So I just want to let you guys know that that's going on there. And let's see, Caitlin has been busy with the marketing correspondence for mini golf. We have several committed sponsors. Rosie is one for the 19th hole. Thank you, Rosie. And she did something different this year. She did a main sponsor for the event. So it's a higher bracket for monetary money, $500. And their name will go on like the tickets and flyer. And I believe they get free tickets and something else. I can't really remember. But yeah, Committed Metronet is our event sponsor this year. Let's see. Let me make sure I got everything here. That's it.
Thank you. Let's see, no committees met over the last month, so I guess we'll go into new business. Director's evaluation goal number one. This is the non-resident cards.
Yes. All right, so the in my evaluation, I set four goals for me. So goal number one was meeting was to present and explore options for determining library card calculations for non-residents to obtain a library card at a reasonable cost. So I did some research, and in my memo, I've listed some of the Illinois rules and laws, but there are approximately 100 or 1 million residents in Illinois that do not have a library card. They live outside of a service area, and they're considered non-residents. And there are library laws and rules pertaining to those non-residents. At this time, we at Yorkville Library currently have 80 non-resident library cards for 50 households. And of those 50 households, 9 represent disabled veteran exemptions. Okay. And so there are administrative rules for determining a non-resident card, and there are 3 choices that library boards have to make if they're going to participate in offering non-resident library cards. So you can come up with a general mathematic formula to determine the cost of a library card, and that formula is taking your income from property taxes and dividing it by the census or total population of your current census, and then taking that times the per household from the census. So I've done the math on this, and using the 2020 census and our current population of 21,533, if we did the general mathematic formula, it would be $236 for a library card. Now, the second way that you can offer a non-resident card is the tax bill method. And this is the formula that we have been using for the past several years. And that you take the most recent property tax bill, and you take that times the current library tax rate, and you come up with the non-resident card fee. So the non-resident card fee using the tax bill method is the same. It's the same as a person living in the city limits would pay, that they would pay. So part of the administrative rules is that you have to charge at least equal to what is paid by residents of your library's system or service area. So that is the equal to that. The third option is the adoption of the average non-resident fee in the system area. So I wasn't sure what this meant, so I reached out to the director of the Illinois State Library for clarifications on this, and he answered me back and said that it did appear he used the library area population maps, and he said that there is likely substantial farm and non-residential property within our service area. So he directed me to the Kendall County Assessor's Office and to determine what the property values for each of the entities are: residential, commercial, farmland. And they got back to me with that calculation, and that is in your packet on page 42. And actually, if you look at this, our residential is 86% of the Kendall County area, the school district area's taxing body. Commercial makes up 8.4%. Farm makes up 3.6%. Industrial is 1.5%. And the state railroad contribution is 0.24%. So by looking at this, we do not qualify for adopting the average non-resident fee in the service area. So after looking at this, then I would say that we continue to go with the tax bill method, but I did do calculations that I want to show you on page 43. So the next three pages. This is a list of our non-residents right now. And it shows juvenile cards on here, when the cards expired, what they're charged by the tax bill method. So, and then I wanted to do a comparison. If we decided to go with the general mathematic formula of charging people $236 for a card, this last column would show, based on currently what they're paying now, what they would pay doing that. And so you can see the first one would go up 89% of what they pay. The second one would go down 12 to 13%. And so it goes on and on and on. So a lot of it is going up. There are a couple that go down. But on page 45, you can see that the total that we collected doing the tax bill method was $9,635. If we go to the $236, it's 40-some dollars more. Okay, so that's a comparison there. And then I have highlighted in yellow, because this is a caveat now. In yellow on the spreadsheet, all of the homes that have children, school-age children, okay? So part of offering library cards, doing the non-resident determination, there is also the Cards for Kid Act that is mandated for children that live outside of the city limits, that live under a poverty level, I guess you would say, that are eligible for free and reduced lunches. There's a mandate that They are also eligible to get a free library card. That's a mandated law, but now there is, back in July, I reported that the General Assembly passed the public act that boards can adopt a regulation to waive that. So that's why I highlighted all of the items in yellow and pulled out the numbers to show if we adopt that, then we are potentially reducing what we'll be collecting for non-resident fees if we did this today by $3,300. So this is just something for you guys to decide if this is what you want. If you want to you know, offer these cards for all students or not. There are people that come to the library to get a library card that are outside of the service area that might have a home that is quite substantial, worth a lot of money, and they kind of get a sticker shock when they come to find out what they would have to pay for a card. And some go, some opt not to, and some do purchase the card. In this case, you know, if they're coming specifically for their children, we could offer them the card for free, but it's for the kids. It's not for
the family.
The family. Yeah.
Which I like that.
I know.
I like that.
I do too.
And how would we make sure when we like color code the card that this
the
is?
Same thing.
Card for kids.
We have application cards that are. Children's cards and adult cards, we would have to flag something in our system. Mm-hmm. That would have to be internally done with staff to figure that out.
And then they would just have to make sure
how we police
used.
That. Yeah.
I mean, we don't want the police, but...
That's a strong word.
Yeah.
Would it be easier to do a color coding or that, too? Just so that...
A special card?
Somehow
children versus
adults.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We might be able to just
put this like more of a visual thing for whoever's checking them out.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be an easy
order
a couple. Yeah.
I mean, I like that option of weighing that for you know
the kids.
For the kids.
Because they're the ones that are giving literacy is important for young kids reading.
Yeah.
And I know I was approached by somebody who, you know, has an agricultural, you know, a farm here, and you know when they went through this, they were getting card for their kids, and the sticker shock was they're like I can't justify, you know, was it $800 for a library card, and so. You know, I think that this is a, you know, for kids, I think this is a great opportunity. It brings them in, you know, in these, you know, and it's a community that's, you know, not serviced by a library.
Right.
So I would like to adopt that.
But so how are the kids eligible? Just the fact that they're kids?
School age kids, based on their age.
So this $800
just say
person,
yeah.
Their kids can still get a card.
Mm-hmm. Right, they would be instead of having
I guess it doesn't add up to me, but
was that a stipulation though, as far as you were saying, depending on referring to the poverty level or
that's a mandated law. Mm-hmm. That one.
Oh, so this would be in addition to
this is something
laws.
That the library has to adopt if
gotcha.
We're going to do this or not, is
okay.
To allow cards for all kids.
Okay. For non-residents specifically, is what
right.
We're talking about.
Right.
Talking about.
Right.
Because you still have to pay.
And I also did a comparison, just so you know, on page 46, I listed libraries based on population, and then I just for my own interest listed whether they were district or public libraries. A district library encompasses school boundaries.
Right.
public libraries encompass city limits, and that's what we are. And then I showed which method that their libraries have adopted and the amounts if they do the general method of formula.
What would your, I mean, as far as the benefit of, I mean, obviously not having to pay for children that are out, that are non-residents. Based on choice, some of it is choice, or is some of it, or do you know what I'm saying? I guess.
Why we would do this?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the benefit of the kids, right? But, which I understand that aspect of it, but is there, so is it just, are there just individuals who have chosen not to do what, I mean, non-resident versus us?
We've never had that option before.
We've never had that option
to
before.
To do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is new.
Okay.
So if we, so that we have to adopt the Illinois, is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. In order to give you a free library card?
Correct.
But then we're, if we remain with the existing process to assess the fee.
That one has, that's separate.
That stays.
That has to be determined every year. So I did that in last April, and in April again we'll have to decide which method we want to do.
So staying with that method, if we adopt this, there's a potential that we're losing $3,300.
Yes.
But families could decide to continue to pay if they want, if the household wants the library.
Certainly.
So we have a backup in the sense of if it is a, if we have families that are at poverty level that would receive a free card versus if
again, it's,
you were able to.
It's for
children.
Not family.
And most people that are non-resident, you say they come to get their cards because it's for the kids.
Well, it's half and half, I think. Okay. Yeah, I mean, on this list, you can see the ones that are not highlighted.
Those are children households.
Right.
Shelly, is there an average do most libraries offer what we're talking about potentially adopting, or is that something that
it's,
you know?
It's new as
okay.
of
oh, it is. Okay.
July.
Okay.
And director of the Illinois State Library said that they are not going to be adopting any administration rules for this. It's
okay.
A simple yes or no.
Yes or no.
All
okay.
of this.
Okay.
Can we adopt it for just like expand it to like the school district? That because the school district is bigger than the city limits.
Correct.
Can we adopt it as we are offering it to those outside of city limits that are, you know, for the kids that are within the Y-115.
Yeah, well, that's our service area. So that's part of the Illinois library rules is that to purchase a library card, you have to go to your nearest library. Mm-hmm. And if there is no library in that's near you, you go to the one with the school district that you're associated to.
So our budget is based off of the first column, the 9,600?
No, actually. In our budget, we have $8,500 in our budget for subscription cards for the year. Right now we're at, as of this report, 9,645. So we're over our budget right now.
But if we went with this program, we would be potentially under budget.
Potentially, yes. We would have to, next year when we set our budget, we're going to have to think about what we could be losing in revenue.
And can we do this at any time to incorporate this program?
Mm-hmm. I mean, just throwing out, I mean, the fact that, I mean, obviously, budget-wise, we are not exactly, you know, have a surplus per se. I mean, we have lots of things that are happening. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I understand wanting to do this as well for the kids, but if they're kids that, I don't know, I mean, obviously we have the poverty level that's covered, but potentially taking that out, or especially at this point, I think
if Russians have to pay, it would be probably, I just find that if I have to pay whether or not I have children, for example, I don't know why that one rule would fit for one family and it wouldn't just because they're non-residents. I don't know. I don't like it. And then how do you determine, like, you could give them a different card, but now the library staff has to police whether or not you think this is adult material and this kid is checking it out for mom and dad? Because, come on, people are going to find a way around paying $300 or whatever.
I mean, you can just offer it as books only. It doesn't include DVD.
You can't do that.
Oh, it's library is library.
Library materials. So whatever's available here, just across the board.
Right. So if you have a family that lives outside, and they have mom, dad, three kids, and they come in and they want cards. Right now, we're looking at their tax bill, and we're doing the calculation on that. And it doesn't matter if they have three kids or ten kids.
Correct.
Right. It's based on the property.
But you could have a 15-year-old and a 3-month-old, and that 3-month-old is going to have access to the library and a card for how many years? 18 years, right? Well, assuming we vote this in every time.
School age.
Still.
Yeah.
K through 12?
Yes.
It's a lot of years of, again, residents paying whether they have children or not, and non-residents not paying.
But, Shelly, this says if they're eligible for school lunch program,
that's different. This is outside of that.
I'm reading under what is cards for kids.
That's the mandated law. The other one is on page 47.
This is
mandated? Yes. That's different.
That's a different one.
Yeah, that's
a
different one.
That's the one we want to have.
That one we don't have a choice on.
It says once we opted to issue non-residents.
Did I explain it clearly?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just trying to figure out as far as
this program that were other than that, one for free and reduced. We don't have to.
No.
This is just correct.
It's an option.
But then you're looking at kids who may not get books from anywhere else, that can't get books.
They're school-age children. They have access to libraries in every school that we have here in Y-115.
But what are we... I know we have to pay for it, but...
What if...
I know. I understand. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to bring another point. I'm a special ed teacher. I teach kids who struggle with reading. And the most exciting thing to me is when I hear that my kids are going to the library. And our school library, I don't know what the Yorkville libraries are like. Our school library is not probably what this one is like. And just to be in a library can be exciting for a little kid. I'd hate to turn people away from that. I know the budget. I know we pay for it. I know all of everything you guys all said, I know, and I understand, and I understand your side. Just trying to bring up that other side that we could potentially be turning kids away from having books in their hands.
Okay, don't you think the people that want their kids to have a library card on the outside, they're going to come in and pay and based on their taxes. It doesn't matter how many kids there are. We're not charging extra for their children. Right? It's a family based on their taxes. So you could offer to kids that maybe not have parents even bring them here. So I guess you got to look at it that way, too. Do you know what I'm saying? That people who want their kids to come to the library are going to go and they're going to give the money and get their cards.
I'd be interested to see what other libraries are doing around us, just to get a feel for it.
I'd like to see that, too.
I think I can make some calls.
Yeah.
And ask if they're adopting this public act or not.
Mm-hmm. I guess if we charge extra for the kids at a family, then I'd say okay. Mm-hmm. But we're really not, you know, if we're basing it on their tax, just like all of us sitting here living in the city. Mm-hmm. No, I don't have any kids in my house,
so
I'm paying for, you know,
my parents. Well, yeah, I mean, it's part of our tax bill, so we don't necessarily see it. Right. We don't have to pay out that $300 or whatever it is.
We take it for granted if it's just on our tax bill.
Right.
We have to be upfront.
But we still have to pay it as mm-hmm. residents. And
on our tax bill.
Right. And so the people that live don't live in the city limits. They're the ones that... they, I guess, choose if they want to live in the city limits or not.
Yes.
I get that. But it almost is like the kids are being punished. They're being denied the library.
Because
they're
their parents.
Because they're making a choice.
Well, because of their parents, because of where they live.
It's their parents' decision.
No, their parents chose to live not in
the city. Yes.
But they don't know necessarily. Some of these are families that are farmers.
They're not paying tax that we're paying.
Yes.
No.
But farmland.
Yeah,
but when they come here and then they, you know, they bring their tax bill and it's astronomical. And you know, and they have three kids up. One to go to the library. One to have a card. And they're you know essentially turned away because this is astronomically high. And a farmer's
well, they don't have a lot of farmland because farmland is taxed lower. So they start thinking like you said, you know, I'm not picking on farmers, but
no.
They also don't pay the same rates that we do.
I've looked at the individual that you were talking about, and their home and their property are valued very high.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I believe, 15 acres wooded. It backs up to golf course. So it's valued very high.
Yes.
The farmland is...
Because the subdivision that went up next to it shot up the prices.
There's actually not farmland on it. It is a farm building.
We can't. So you can't say they're farmers. They don't have acreage and they have crops planted.
Correct.
They have acreage that...
constitutes some... It could
counts
be
as recreational space.
Yeah.
Now we do have someone that purchases a card that actually has... farmland, acres, 100-some acres, and they purchase a card. But yeah, it's taxed very differently. It's the bulk of their tax comes from their home and their what they call the dwelling, I guess, the way it's broken down.
So essentially, are we then if we adopt this and you go back to the existing members and change their whatever
we
it is,
would
not your subscription,
going
but
forward
your,
is how it would be.
I mean, they would be grandfathered already.
Yeah. Okay, so they would still be paying for it. So whoever comes forward from
whoever comes
once
forward
we adopt
and
the
wants
program.
A card, yeah.
So we would do the tax on
them. If they have if it's an adult,
an adult
card versus a child's card, is that what?
What's your base if we do that? Like our base rate right now is based on the tax rate. So like I said, it doesn't matter how many kids are in the house.
Correct.
Okay, so how do you differentiate? Are we changing our base then to the flat fee? I mean, how, do you see what I'm saying? How do you... So they're going to come in and show you they have to pay $300
mm-hmm.
with three kids. How are you going to discount that then? If we're using their tax bill?
Well, you can't discount.
No, it's just...
But could you going to give their kids a free card so somehow they would be paying less than that?
Just the adult. They would have to do an adult.
It's just the kids. The kids would get a card.
The parents wouldn't be getting a card unless the parents want to pay for a card,
right.
And it's still going to be that price.
I think
because you still have to adopt your general mathematic formula mm-hmm. or your tax bill,
and then you would just be saying, "Mom and Dad, you're out. This is just for your kid."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were just doing the research on this. It's something that was requested, right? To do the research.
Yeah.
We're not making a decision.
No.
Very thorough in how we broke it down.
We can bundle it with our yearly adoption of which method we choose.
In April. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you can also see what other libraries are doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that when we come to the time of April, we have something that we can go off of. Yeah. We have to make a decision.
I'm not doing an omnibus. She's like a big one.
Okay. Anything else on this?
This was just part of research.
Right.
To think about it. We're tabling it to April.
Surrounding communities.
Right, look at surrounding communities, what they do.
I mean, I agree. I mean, I don't want any children to not have books in their hands. Right. So that part, that's to me, is kind of an issue. But at the same time, I guess we just have to see where it kind of filters in and perhaps maybe.
I have a question for you. So if the college gives books, does that allow them to participate in the programs as well?
Yes. It's a card.
Yeah. Because we do a program when it comes to literacy. So, I mean, yeah, I would like to see how it...
Sometimes we require a library card for a program.
I would
sometimes
like to see
we don't.
Yes.
Or sometimes we offer the first use, or first sign-up for a library card.
Right.
So, and then we open it up to everyone.
Right. I would like to see one of them here as well. Mm-hmm. Before we make a decision.
Okay, next, discuss approve updated collection development policy and request for consideration policy.
Yeah, okay, so this starts on page 49. So this discussion is stemming from a request for reconsideration that we received from a patron. They were angry about a movie that they viewed, and they wanted to complain to the library about it.
They made me.
And so he said, if you are that serious about this, there is a process, and here is your request for reconsideration materials. So I added it to the packet, and you can see it only asks really two questions. What in the book did you find? What did you object to, and what do you want to do with this? So.
Didn't they select a movie?
Yes, they did. So, on page 50, I wrote my response. And basically, I just followed our policy and how our guidelines are collection development plans for it. And let them know that we serve our entire community and all views, and we want to make sure that we have representation of everyone in our community, materials for them, and that we certainly do not censor. And if they are not in agreement with us, that they were welcome to, I would forward it on to the board, and they could come in for discussion. And, but it would be the board's final approval. I haven't seen this person, and nothing has been said.
Okay.
But that led me to changing the policy. But I did want to point out some of these things. I don't know if you guys get this in your mail.
Is that little one that comes like a couple times a week?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
The one with the libraries and the books?
Yes.
I saw that.
Yeah. All of a sudden, what, I don't know.
Also,
it's election stuff. It's election stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Also, in Chicago Tribune, they had a U.S. books ban trend comes to suburbs. So there's big there's a big push for banning books that people find objectionable. Yeah. So it's really important that we follow and follow the ALA guidelines for freedom to read, freedom to view, and the Bill of Rights, the Library Bill of Rights. So that's why I made these changes in the policy. So anything from, let's see, page 52 on. Anything in yellow is something that wasn't there that I've added. And I've crossed out just a few things that are kind of redundant. I don't think we need.
but the last, on page 56, I added this. So this is the process for reconsideration. That was not in our policy. Just saying that the library does not endorse opinions contained in its materials. Patrons are free to enjoy, dislike, or ignore any item in the collection. However, no one is free to restrict another's use of library materials. And just goes on to talk about ethical questions on banning books and the process for if you want to move something forward that you find objectionable. This is what we'll do. And then I changed our little form of two questions to two pages. So they have to have a little bit, they have to give us a little bit more information other than two words.
Convertible.
Yeah.
And I pulled this from Illinois State Library. They have some policies on that too. So I just kind of wanted, because of the current climate with banning books and things like that, I didn't do a policy committee. I just thought I would go ahead and do it this way.
Yeah, that's fine.
Shelly, I have a question. So, this is a DVD. As far as where do we get these to begin with? Is there, these are kind of semi vetted books?
Correct.
DVDs
correct.
Already? This is a Disney film?
Yeah. They come from our normal supplier that we get them from. Yeah. So, part of our collection is that as a selector, you read reviews, and I always, when I purchased for the library, I always made sure that books that I had purchased were vetted and reviewed by respectable sources like Library Journal,
yes.
Publishers Weekly, Kirkus, things like that. So you do that. Popular materials, popular authors. Certainly this DVD is popular with the community, with, you know, in the entertainment world, so.
It's on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
It's
on Disney Plus. So the criteria are on page 53 and 54 on the table. These are all the criteria that we kind of use when we purchase books. So that would want to fall under, I believe, popular demand, local interest.
So the request for reconsideration. So it says that you would appoint a committee to review the challenge material and prepare a written report. What would be something that a committee would say, oh, we have to remove this book? What would entail, hypothetically?
The committee would be the selectors, and we would go through the policy book and look at the material, and does it meet these qualifications? Does it conflict with the Library Bill of Rights or the Freedom to Read, Freedom of Review Statement, and make a recommendation? Now, sometimes, and this hasn't happened for years, but sometimes we might take something that might be, we could move it up to the adult department versus having it in the kids department or move it to the YA. But I have never heard of a book that we have gotten rid of.
Okay. That's what I was wondering.
Do we need to adopt this? Or is this your vision?
Yes.
It's a policy.
Motion to adopt the general considerations on selection, deselection of materials with the revisions as presented.
Second.
Garcia?
Yes.
Nolan?
Yes.
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Schimp?
Yes.
Pasola?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
And Forrestal?
Yes.
Okay, per capita requirements.
Okay, this one's gonna go.
It's not like last year where we had the books.
Yeah, we're not gonna do that. Okay, so I did put it in your packet, I just did not print it out.
Yes, you said it.
Because, yeah, you've had this a couple times, I think, since last year, so I'm not going to do that again. But last year it took us 3 meetings to go over all of the chapters in the book. So this is standards for Illinois libraries, and these are just course standards broken down by chapter. There's 13 chapters that libraries need to either be meeting or be moving towards meeting these core standards. And every year we have to fill out a per capita grant and let the state know that we meet these standards or we're moving towards meeting these standards. So yeah, last year in detail we went over these, a lot of these. I don't think everyone else heard about it. So just quickly, I'm going to go over some of them and what we've done and what we're still working towards. So in chapter one is just the library core standards, and we meet all of those with the exception of core number 6, which is our code of ethics and public library trustee ethics statement. So we're updating that. We have it in our policy book, but we just need to update it because it's old and they've changed it in ALA. So.
Okay.
And updating our trustee bylaws as well. So I've been working on that. So eventually that will come. And all of these, or most of these, are policy related, really. Chapter 2 is the governance and administration checklist, and we meet all those core standards. Chapter 3 is the personnel checklist. We do meet all those standards, but I will be updating the job descriptions and possibly looking at a salary schedule for all library positions to help us with budget planning. Chapter 4 is access checklist. I can't remember what they're calling access, sorry. It's ADA compliant policies in that. Let's see, and we updated our ADA policy last year. Chapter 5 is building and infrastructure maintenance. So that one's...
We do that one.
That one, that one needs a little work. The library should have a list of all projected building capital projects that involve major repairs, rehabbing, or replacement of facility systems. So clearly we need some work on that. We also, the library develops a capital reserve fund that will fund major capital projects, so we need to work on doing that. The library should have a capital asset plan. This plan can be written by the library administrator or by an outside professional. The capital assessment plan will project facility funding needed over 10, 15, and a 20-year period. We need that.
Some of that will be in the study group back in 2017.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, I've showed them that. Mm-hmm. So that one is the one that needs the most work. Chapter 6 is the safety checklist. We meet all of those. We had to update some signs from last year, which we've done. Collection management checklist. I get to say that we've adopted a new collection development policy. So now we meet all those core standards. System member responsibilities and resource sharing checklist. We do meet all those standards. Public services, so reference and readers advisory services. We do meet those, with the exception that I'm working on a reference service policy
and we need improvement on training staff when working with patrons who have challenges with disabilities, language, and literacy. So I'm looking into having some training for staff on that, maybe self-guided training. And encouraging staff members to attend a continuing education class for each one of them that was added last year to their employee evaluations. We meet all the core standards for programming for youth services and young adult services. The technology chapter of the library has a board adopted internet accessible use policy that was last updated in 2011. So we'll need to update that policy.
Yeah, it's changed.
Yeah. let's see. The library develops and updates at regular intervals a long-range strategic plan for its future technology needs. So we need to create a technology plan, which I've known. I do get to say that we have added computer classes since last time, so that's good. And the last chapter is marketing, promotion, and collaboration. We meet all those standards, and I can also mention that we have a dedicated staff member who coordinates all of our library marketing efforts now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have appendixes. One of the appendixes recommended a new trustee orientation program, which I started. I chewed through it. Carrie. And let's see. It does recommended service hours and staffing levels. And we are at, and it'll do like a good, better, best on all of those. And we are at the lower end of all of those based on our population and our staff needs. So that's it. So this report is due in January. And I'll have a copy for you guys at the January meeting.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Okay, last thing on here is set the Finance Committee meeting date for FY24 budget planning.
So I reached out to Rob to ask for a few dates. He hasn't gotten back to me yet, so
okay.
I guess we
could propose something.
Yeah, we can propose something for... when do we want... So this would just be the Finance Committee meeting for this.
So normally we start this in February?
Right, but I think maybe we should start earlier. Maybe
probably good.
January?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So actually, we could table this till next month. We could table this, and I could get dates from Rob, because I want to make sure Rob is here.
Yeah.
For the initial meeting, because mm-hmm. I know there will be a lot of back and forth tweaking the budget and that. So if he can just get us going in the right direction at first, that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
So if we plan on meeting in January, we can certainly I can put this back on the agenda for December.
I think so.
Then. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions? No
questions. You're good.
All right. That's the last of new business. There's no reason to go into executive session, so we are adjourned.